Joseph Smith's first vision is in essence the origin story of Mormonism. It's the moment where the modern church began. Yes, we believe that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a restitution of all things, and so this is simply a bringing back of something that had already existed. But it's more than that. It's the moment when Joseph goes into the woods to pray, when he sees the Father and the Son and has this grand experience, this theophany in the woods. It's really the birth of modern Mormonism. It's its origin. Javon Tanner revisits this origin story in his poem First Vision. In doing so, he comes up with kind of a midrashic tale, one that spins around the canonical versions, that looks in the shadows, the penumbra, to imagine things that may have happened outside of this experience where the Father and the Son appear to Joseph Smith. And I'm taking the I in the poem as Joseph Smith, so Joseph Smith is the speaker. It begins, "I walked into a grove of laurels." He walks in and he watches his sister stretch their limbs to finger pillars of light. So these trees swaying and whispering together, their leaves like tongues. They're speaking, chattering as he goes into the wood. And perhaps what does he see? I think in this version of the story, he sees the mother, and the trees are guessing at her name. "Mother," they sighed, "we ran from temptation. We prayed to Father, but our toes dipped into the warm, wet world. Our fingers burst with wild buds. Is this purity, Mother? Is this virtue?" So the mother here is the paean of purity, of virtue, of modesty. And so the trees are looking to her as their example. They're thinking, oh, we've produced these things. We are part of creation, and they're looking to her as the example of how to respond to this. Is this right, Mother? Is this good? Is this part of our character, our nature? And in essence, she's there to reassure them, I think. And I think that considering a mother in heaven, that we have an eternal mother, that could change our modesty discourse, that instead of focusing so much on, oh, does my dress show my shoulders, or on the way that our dress, or the image that our dress conveys to other people, that considering what it really means to be pure and to virtuous, that the knowledge of the mother in heaven, of her presence, of her being, of her character, her virtue, would change our modesty discourse, would help us to maybe reframe it, to think it differently. And I think that Javon the poem kind of points to this idea here when it's saying that the leaves are chattering, they're wondering about their own modesty, their own purity, their own virtue. And so the speaker kneels at their feet, reads their questions into his hair, because he too is wondering these questions, connecting with the natural world in this way. Then he tries to speak, but only coughed a thick darkness until it covered me, until my brothers, sadder faced than ashamed, peeked from their hiding places. And so here we have coming in the animals from the natural world, and we have the sheep-goats distinction that Christ made, where the goats are kind of they represent the evil, the left hand of God. But here, the poem revises that image as well, because it continues. It says, when it was safe, they sang of beauty, your beauty, which they could not see. So we have, again, the animals singing of the mother's beauty, even though they couldn't see it. In essence, they had been, being on the left hand of God, they were, in essence, cast from his presence. Typologically, that would kind of represent the evil portion of the world, and those who have not connected yet fully with God, and they're looking to her. They're seeking out the mother. Mother, they sang, we were lost in the woods. When we prayed to Father, he separated us from the sheep, left us for the stray lamb. Remember your goat-headed boys, Mother, seething in your milk. So we have the mother, this, again, paean of purity and virtue, and also of mercy, and these satyrs, these goats, are praying to her. They're seeking to her. And I think, again, that she can be an example to us of mercy, of reaching out. That women, and the pronoun that goes with mercy in the scriptures is generally her. And so this, it's a, we frame it as more of a feminine attribute, this mercy, where justice is the manly attribute, mercy is the feminine. So those who have not been maybe fully accepted by God, by the godlike culture, not the godlike culture, but the culture that reaches to be like God, the people who are kind of on the outskirts of this are looking to the mother. Perhaps we could learn from that example as well. And then the last stanza of the poem, it concludes, "It was not moonlight when it fell, it was not moonlight when it rested upon me." The mother maybe perhaps being connected with the moon in terms of womanhood. Womanhood on the earth being connected with the moon, the cycle of the woman's body. But it wasn't moonlight that rested upon her, it was the sun. It was clarity, warm and wise, when it circled me. "And I saw you," sees the mother as well, "and I saw myself in you, kicking in a womb of glory, waiting to be born again." So in this grove, perhaps, Joseph didn't just see the father and the son. In this reimagining, he sees also the mother, sees himself in her, kicking in this womb of glory, waiting to be born again. And this is, I think, part of the beauty of Mormonism, that we have father, mother, son, and that they can be this great influence and presence on the earth, and that we can seek for that and learn from their examples, as Javan kind of imagines happening in this poem. Because that's what we need to do. We need to imagine the feminine presence in the scriptures. The scriptures are very patriarchal. They're very male-heavy. This is very clear. But more and more, I think, women are seeking examples of women in the scriptures. And Bob Reese has pointed out that we ought to imagine the female presence in the scriptures. Imagine what could be happening in the penumbra, in the gaps around the stories that we have. And that this midrashic approach is an act of faith. Faith is an act of imagination. And as we approach the scriptures in this way, seeking for the divine presence of both the feminine, in particular the feminine, that we can come to a deeper understanding of her presence in our lives, in our history, and in the world around us.